on August 1st. Is that right? August 1st. And you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
And I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And as always, we have a great show lined up for you today. Better late than never, I always say. We had a little bit of a glitch getting into our studio this morning, so...
All good fun.
All
Everybody,
good fun.
Everybody dealt with the situation with
like
true entrepreneurial grit. Right.
Right.
They just kind of rolled with the punches and kept going.
And we have a full studio today, and because we were running so late, I didn't even get last names from everybody, but we are going to get all of that coming up. But we do have Steve and John, co-founders of Workout Anytime, joining us, along with Jeremy Wing and Adam Bloomston and... Amber, who doesn't have a last name, from Payscape.
Amber Bloomston also.
Okay, there you go. I guess I could have guessed that. From Payscape Advisor. So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And sorry for all the craziness. This is what we do on live radio.
That wasn't crazy. She's trying to get into our office in the morning.
You know, it's always something.
It's good to know that other people have challenges and adventures, too. And I'm sure as co-founders of growing companies, you guys have encountered your fair share of obstacles along the way. So we're going to be excited to hear about them and about what you've got on track for the future, as well as some successes that you're celebrating right now. So we're so pleased that you're able to join us today on the show.
And as always, before we get into the nitty-gritty of you guys and your businesses, which we're very much looking forward to, because really, getting paid and working out, both things I can ascribe to. So, but before we do that, as always, we're going to have Elizabeth cover some of the Atlanta business news headlines.
So Georgia was awarded a hotspot for vineyards award with now nearly 20 wineries and vineyards, and the sale of area wines taking off. How cool is that, Dana?
Well, I do like to drink, along with getting paid and working out. But so has anybody here had a lot of Georgia wine? You guys, anybody? Nobody?
I've had a lot of wine in Georgia.
Me too. I don't know if they're that good. I don't know. I guess we should have a wine tasting.
The region's high elevation and warm temperatures, as well as the red clay soil, kind of emulate a France Cabernet or Malbec ideal climate. And also Italy Sangiovese. So they're saying that we could, with those climate conditions, compete with some good reputation wine areas in the world.
Well, I hope that's true. But I'm going to say right off the bat that I think our redneck accents are going to get in the way. Because I'm just saying, if you sound French, people are going to buy your wine. If you sound like a hillbilly, I don't know. We'll have to see. Jury's still out. Back
good
to
point,
you.
Dana. So AGCO Q2 profits jumped 51% to $202 million. Delta will begin offering two daily flights from Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport to Columbia, Missouri. Flights are being added due to high demand. The Coca-Cola company announced they will be reorganizing corporate operations at the end of the year into three new business segments, Coca-Cola International, Coca-Cola Americas, and Bottling Investments Group. Good to see Coke has always come up with new ways to retool that sugar water that is so sweet here for the Georgia economy.
Maybe we should reorganize our business. What do you think?
Maybe.
Maybe we should reorganize it into one where the doors open on time. That could be good. Just a thought.
There could be a couple of reworks that might happen. Now, the federal government said that their proposed transportation hub in downtown Atlanta is going to be in the final selection, that multimodal passenger terminal that we've talked a lot about.
That I'm so excited about.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait for that. But I'm going to have to, like 20 years.
Barack Obama is going to announce something tomorrow. So stay tuned for more information on the future prospects of that.
Wow. Interesting.
And that's about all for the news for Atlanta, Dana. The biggest news I think we're going to save towards the end of the show.
Well, we can. How do we not mention that the transportation bill
did not fly.
So we will talk about that a little bit more in the downtown update. But I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting.
The voters spoke.
And it's also, I guess, getting some national attention aside from just from a transportation aspect, because we're like 48th or 49th in the country in terms of our transportation, which is horrible. But But also because it was like a big thing for the Tea Party, I guess, that they're like showing that they have some power because they were able to influence the vote, or they're saying they were able to influence the vote. I don't know. I mean, I heard a lot of people yesterday talking about it on the streets. I wish I had my like man on the street equipment, but people were, a lot of people who were against.
Yeah, there was a lot of word on the street.
But I didn't hear anybody that was against saying it was because of the Tea Party. They were just talking about sort of what the money was earmarked for and how it was earmarked and whether or not it was going to be spent responsibly and things like that. I didn't hear anybody talk about it from a political perspective. So I don't know if that's really true. But anyway, it's getting some national attention, and so it'll get a little teensy bit of attention here on our show. So should we move on?
Yes, I am interested to get to know our guests better. How about you?
Me too. Absolutely.
All right, let's start with Steve and John. Guys, tell us a little bit about Workout Anytime. As you can tell, Dana's big into working out all the time.
I do enjoy
a
workout.
So how did you come up with the concept? Tell us about the concept and what your plans are for the company.
Workout Anytime is sort of an evolution. Both Steve and I have well over 30-some years. I actually have 42 years in the health club business. There's not many people that can make that statement. They're still alive, actually. But started out years ago. The first really health club in Atlanta probably was European Health Spa. Started way back then. But over time, it's gone into the larger clubs from Bally's to I had one of the first Nautilus clubs. So there's been an evolution in not only the equipment used, the type of club. And what Workout Anytime is a gleaning of all of those and really reducing it down, distilling it to just the necessary parts. The necessary parts being just a great workout. You can get in 24 hours a day and get out anytime you want.
So how do you get in at 3 in the morning?
How do I get in?
Is that when you like to work out?
9 in the morning.
Huh? Yeah, good question. A fair question, smart Alec.
Each member gets a barcode key.
Okay.
That you can access the door system. A lot of things came together to help this concept. Number one, of course, we have camera surveillance all the time, and the ability to know if a person paid in real time, because when a person comes to the door, they simply put their barcode up there. It accesses them if they're paid. They actually, if a person didn't pay their dues, then we still give them 30 days grace. After that, nice knowing you.
After that, the barcode no longer works.
You used to be a member.
I'm glad you brought up cameras because, you know, as a woman of a certain age, which I never like to actually admit on the air, I would be a little nervous, I think, going someplace late at night, even if that's what my schedule called for.
Yeah, we educate the member, number one, if you're a lady coming in after, say, 10 or 11 o'clock, not to come in by yourself. But we have panic buttons throughout the club.
Okay.
So you can run, hit a button, and the police are notified in seconds.
Okay.
So we try to cover that base as well.
That's good.
And we also have a lot of support from the local police and fire department. We offer discounts for all of them, and they come in through the night and protect most of our facilities. And like John said, we trained a member, and they buy into that.
Yeah.
It works.
So where are the clubs located?
We are in 7 states.
Wow.
7 states. We have 47 clubs open and operating, 15 of which are in Atlanta. Atlanta is wide open for additional growth. We're looking to add another 15 to 20 clubs in this market.
Right.
Specifically, Gwinnett County, South Atlanta, Clayton.
Maybe downtown.
Maybe downtown. We do have a club in Buckhead.
Franchises are available.
Franchises are available.
Call now.
Call now. But we're extremely excited about our growth.
Yeah.
We've had a nice spurt. The last 2 years, we project 100 signed franchises by the end of 2012.
Okay.
And then we'll take a look at 2013 and see where we go from there. But we're extremely excited about our model. It is different. It's a value price model. You can join for $15 a month with no commitment on a contract. We have top shelf, highest quality equipment the industry offers. Every one of our clubs has at least 10 treadmills. You can always expect to be able to get on a treadmill when you come in. They're small clubs, like John said earlier. All we offer is a really good workout, actually the best workout per square foot in the industry.
Okay.
And that's what our franchisees are buying into. And our model is extremely successful right now. We've got 19 clubs in Tennessee, 4 in Kentucky, just started North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, and Alabama, and we expect rapid growth in all those markets in 2012.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Interesting point is that we actually changed our whole pricing system due to the economy about 2 or 3 years ago. The standard, again, I sold memberships to European House Spa for $30 a month with a contract 40 years ago. But
wow.
This economy doesn't handle that. Two things that have changed is that people don't want to be committed.
Right.
So we went to a no commitment. You can go month to month, quit anytime you want. The other part is $15 is we lead with that, and that's half price of what it was 30 years ago.
Now, yeah.
The difference is we need to make the overhead extremely skinny without skimping on the quality. And so we're, you know, we're there's $300,000-$400,000 worth of equipment in a 5,000-square-foot box, so they get a great workout for $15.
Right.
So,
and you guys thought about joining ever?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. That is a radio show, but you guys would be very impressed if you saw these physiques.
So what is, like, the biggest barrier to – is it location? Like, what keeps you guys from being everywhere? Like, what's in your way right now?
I think the only thing keeping us from being everywhere is that's why we're here on the radio.
Just getting the word out.
Is people knowing.
Yeah.
You know, I could give you some really good figures because we're extremely profitable.
Okay.
That's why anybody goes into business.
Yeah.
But we're profitable because we give more than a person pays for. And we don't need, I won't mention the competition. We don't need 7,000 members like I was in L.A. But we only need hundreds of members to be profitable. So that's our niche, and it works, and it really works for franchisees that aren't necessarily health club people that we can teach. So Steve and I have 30, unfortunately, 75 years of experience that we can transfer to somebody if they want to do a health club.
Maybe when you have that many, you just don't add it together. I don't know.
You try not to.
Yeah, I don't know.
How many of the 47 are franchises?
44.
Soon to be 47 because one of our modes of expansion is actually to build clubs. We're signing a lease in Anderson, South Carolina to build a club. But as soon as we start building that, it's for sale as a franchise.
Gotcha.
But if it doesn't, you know, if somebody doesn't buy the franchise, we're extremely profitable, so we can build so many. You only have so many 400,000s laying around.
Right. Well, you know, I have a few in the other room. I'll get it. So when you're trying to attract franchisees, you said they don't have to be workout people. That's not critical?
Not at all.
Just
good business people looking for a good opportunity.
Okay.
We actually do not market into the industry itself.
Okay.
People that have experience in the industry, sometimes they want to come in and change our model. And
yeah.
Frankly, we really don't need any help there. Our model is
solid,
just doing really well right now. And we're always open-minded to things that will make us better, stronger. But as far as wholesale changes, not interested.
Yeah.
We're very happy with where we are at this moment.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because you've sort of done the opposite of what most gyms do. I mean, you kind of put the traditional gym model on its head by taking what's the largest aspect of the gym and making that a small,
manageable piece.
Well, overhead.
Yeah, I used to build the big clubs with racquetball and swimming pools. And then Steve and I said to ourselves, well, we never... You know, everybody buys the pool, but nobody gets in the pool. Most women go, well, I got to do my hair, and I'm never going to – I can't get back to work, you know.
So Amber's over there nodding her head. Yeah,
so,
that's me.
So that was $200,000 we didn't need to spend for a swimming pool.
Right.
So racquetball
looked nice in the brochure, but –
That's right. Like I said, everybody buys it, nobody uses it.
Yeah.
So a lot of things that we have in this day and time are very functional. Everybody uses them. And the convenience factor, we had a problem years ago staffing, say, at Christmas time.
Yeah.
So most health clubs are closed on Christmas. Well, we're never closed because now we're not going to be there to see you. But if you want to get a workout, you have a key. get your workout before the turkey.
But you won't be there?
Not at all clubs. So there's only one person that can do that.
So that is an interesting question. What is the general, what is the staffing like on a day-to-day at one of the clubs?
Good question. We have a 2 to 3 person staffing, which is basically for service, which is to help somebody if they don't know how to use something, to set up a program, obviously to enroll somebody. But we also have a full personal training staff. Personal training is an extra. That's one-on-one training. We offer training to anybody as part of the membership. But if they want one-on-one for a whole hour, they have to pay the trainer.
Gotcha.
So just that simple.
And if someone wants to bring in like their own trainer with them, is that something they can do, or that person has to have a membership also? Or
no.
So if a personal trainer has a membership, they can't train people in the. I'm just curious at you know.
Well, part of that is we have an agreement with a personal training company.
I gotcha.
That they have an exclusive. So it's not that we wouldn't want to do that, but that's part of the business part of workout anytime.
Gotcha. Okay. Just curious.
It is a business, by the way.
Yes, it is.
And if people want to find out more about the business or how they could make that business their own business, perhaps, where should they go?
WorkoutAnytime.com.
Okay. Yeah,
WorkoutAnytime.com. And the good news is Steve and I are available all the time.
I was just going to say, if they want to call you anytime.
They can. Here's the card. I'm the only one in here. Well, she didn't have a last name for a while, but I don't have one at all.
You're just like Cher.
Right. Yeah.
I'm taller.
So do you want to give out a phone number, or should we just send people to the website?
Absolutely. We'll give you the main office here in Atlanta, 770-234-0108. Any other number you want to give?
That one's good.
You want to give your private cell phones so
sure.
people can...
Dana.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, for a good time, call Steve.
There you go. Call Steve. So, but you guys are based here in Atlanta.
We are.
In Dunwoody, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. But there's no particular advantage in terms of being a franchisee, except that they can bug you personally more often.
Yeah, and we can go there and bug them, too.
That's right.
I would think it would be a great advantage.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good.
So let's talk money. Payscape Advisors is a full-service registered merchant service provider. Jeremy, Adam, Amber, welcome. Tell us more about the company.
Amber?
Thank you, Jeremy.
Who's the spokesperson today?
We're all going to get about 2 minutes of airtime.
Grab that microphone.
So we are in the payment processing business. So we've got solutions for anything that's a non-cash related transaction. We've got a couple different software verticals that we've dove into. One being online camp registrations, and one being billing and invoicing presentment. So we have all kinds of solutions. We'd work with guys just like Steve and John here. We've got clients across the country, all 50 states, including Alaska, Hawaii. And we do some really cool things, but we hang our hat on our sales organization and our team that we've built over the years. So Adam and I owned a couple of businesses together, and this is one of those that has got it's still in its infancy. It's got all kinds of upside, and we're excited about the future.
So you guys owned a couple of businesses back when you were young. These guys this is a good looking group here. I'm just saying.
We work out a lot.
At Workout Anytime, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how our businesses have evolved as we've evolved. So we literally had a party planning business back in the day.
When we were partiers.
And nice. Now that we're adults, we're going to probably open a baby store sometime soon. Now that we've got a lot of babies between the two of us.
Nice. Nice. So now, right now, you're just into money. I can respect that.
Yeah. John and I still party. So.
You still party. So your next business is going to be a party franchise of some kind? Excellent.
Yeah, the Benjamin Buttons here. They're going backwards.
There you go. That's right.
So as serial entrepreneurs, what did you look at in terms of like, oh, this is a really attractive market. You want to enter this industry. You saw that as an opportunity. I mean, there's opportunities everywhere. What drew you to merchant services and what you're doing now, Payscape?
I'd say when we started researching it, it was from a business perspective, it was residual income. So in the merchant processing business,
right.
you sell someone your services, and then you make a little bit of money over time as long as you're providing the services to the client.
That is the best type of income.
So that, for us, that was once
that
we
keeps coming.
Once yeah. we figured that out, it's the same thing with Workout Anytime too. It's residual income once people join the gym. That the residual income where you don't have to wake up every morning at the beginning of a month and say, all right, I got to start from scratch.
Right. How are we going to make money this
right.
month?
So that's the key that attracted us to it.
another catalyst could have been one of the other businesses we owned was a transportation business and a bus that got stolen in the middle of the night. And Adam had to go track it down. So I think that might have been his weakest moment. Yeah. I was like, let's do this payment processing thing.
No moving parts, no wheels.
There you go. Nothing that can be stolen in the middle of the night, ostensibly. Yeah. Like maybe a credit card machine, but you'll live, right? Yeah.
Now, it is a fairly competitive industry. So how do you guys differentiate? How are you able to pull clients away from their existing provider and then keep them staying with you?
We separate ourselves in a couple of ways from our competitors. It's pretty simple. It's customer service, products, and pricing. We employ a fleet of about 175, 180 sales reps in the local communities. We join the chambers. We're a member of the networking groups. We go to the ribbon cuttings. We do the art galleries. We get to know everybody, shake their hand, and do whatever we can in the local community to become a part of the working environment. And I think that's one big advantage is getting to know your customers and shaking their hand one at a time. Our breadth of products is really separates us as well from our competitors. You know, you can't just have a terminal anymore and just say, hi, work out anytime you want a terminal. I mean, talking to them this morning, they've already got a software system that is a POS system that automatically reoccurs the billing for the clients. You've got to take advantage of technologies in our space. So we do the camp registration. We do the electronic bill presentment. We can provide ATMs. We can provide the POS systems they're talking about. We can do gift card programs. There's a lot of different products that we provide so that when the workout any times of the world need our services, it's not just credit card processing, and then they have to go to other people to get these other services. You know, it's a right. one-stop shop. So they can do everything with us.
Historically, the small business owner has had to deal with a lot of different
right.
vendors.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say,
I
wish I had you guys around when I had a retail business for 5 years, and I had a little this and a little from there, and it was always hard to find things that tied in with my POS system and all of that.
Interestingly enough, with the health club business, we used to do our own collections, and it wasn't electronic. So, trust me,
knocking on doors.
You do not want to be in that. Or I don't want to be in that business.
No, I don't either.
But interesting common denominator, they said, that differentiates themselves as we do. And I'm going to say Payscape. Since you got workout any time in there about three times, I appreciate it. Payscape's advisors. Customer service is really how people stay in business, sell franchises, and really that's it. We pride ourselves on trying to be Cheers, where when you come into this health club that the manager knows everybody by name. If they don't, they're fired, but that's old school management.
Though. There you go. Crack the whip.
I'll add one more thing to that is that our strategic referral relationships really are value-added differences. So we work with couple hundred community banks throughout the Southeast,
okay.
throughout the country, really. And when you go into your banker generally asks you or tells you to do something, you do it. And so when many times we'll come in and we'll bundle our services with, you know, a small business loan or something like that. So that's a big differentiator. And then other business services. So you can be even the things that are not like payroll companies. We partner with payroll companies. A lot of services and business that are dealing with the same decision maker. You know, we'll want to be able to present that in one fell swoop, basically.
Right. So is there, I mean, it's sort of the same question I asked these guys, but in a different way. Is there a business that's too small? Is there a barrier to working with you guys?
No.
Okay, so you have kind of programs for everybody.
Yeah.
We talk every day about the small guys lead to the big ones. And you know, we're not designed to work with a Walmart necessarily.
Right.
But, you know, there's no business that's necessarily too big or too small.
Okay, fair enough. You'll take it if they come calling. And if they do come calling, where should they come calling to find you? How do you like that segue?
I'd say you can email us at sales@payscapeadvisors.com or call 404-350-6565 and hit extension 3, and that'll get you to our internal sales department.
Now, you guys, I invited you on because I read about the award that you just won, Social Madness.
Yes.
I want to hear about this Social Madness competition. And, I mean, I should say that this is not the only award you've won. This is a company that has gotten multiple awards as you've grown successfully over the last several years. But let's talk about Social Madness.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's been an exciting time. And, I've been fortunate enough to be with the company for 2 years now. So just in my time here, the growth that's continuing to happen has been it's so exciting, you know, to go out for these awards and to win, you know. So, but from the Social Badness Challenge, that was something that, you know, we said, okay, we're gonna enter into this, we're gonna give it a shot, and we realized that the social media presence is extremely important. It's the size of a small country, Facebook. And you know, clients and people trust peer recommendations, and we use social media kind of for a variety of things. Within our company, we have a sales force that's throughout the country. So, you know, we use it internally a lot, but we also use it to talk about, you know, post helpful content for small businesses and, you know, to talk about our different products and share that. So we've really been getting into that over the past 2 years.
Okay.
And
well, everybody kind of felt like they had to,
right.
But I think companies have varied on their degree of successful implementation of those strategies, because there's all this neat technology, but mm-hmm. It's interesting. So you've used it to kind of bring together a decentralized workforce across the country and then also get the marketing message out to customers.
Exactly. And it's been really cool to see, get the feedback from our account managers who will be in bank meetings, or they'll be meeting with clients and they'll talk about, oh, you know, we're focusing on this product this month, MobileScape. It's our mobile payment application. And in those meetings, they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, we heard about that. We saw that on Facebook. So, you know, it's definitely leading to sales and awareness. But from the social madness perspective, we're really fortunate that within the company, you know, we're a payment processing company, but also a technology company as well. And our district sales managers, our project managers on Billion Orchard and Ridgepoint, everyone is really social. They're very savvy. And so it was a grassroots effort. We really kind of tasked everyone in the company with it. So winning that award is due to everyone. You know, so it was great.
And we did part of the strategy also is really leveraging. And we're in a business that it takes, you know, thousands and thousands of clients. It's a pennies and basis points business. So we have so many clients. And one of our strategies was to really highlight and really pay attention to our clients. So we'll on any given day, we'll be highlighting Anytime Fitness, or we'll be highlighting, you know.
Hello. Whoa. Oh, Workout Anytime.
Workout Anytime.
Delete that. Scratch that from the record.
I have a gun.
I said clients. You guys aren't a client yet.
You haven't closed the deal yet.
Yeah. So we'll highlight clients with great pictures or products that they may be selling, and it's one of those that if we work with our clients,
neat.
We promote our clients, it builds our business.
Yeah. We like to do that too.
They were doing so good.
I know they were.
Oh, no.
We're
not going to get any more mentions.
I know. Well, so while we're on the subject of social media, how are you guys leveraging that with Workout Anytime?
National PR firm that is implementing and helping us with that as we speak. Just started.
Okay. Because I feel like that's the same thing. I mean, you talked about your, you know, issues, like biggest issues sort of being getting the word out. And
right.
It seems like nowadays, even just having people see the logo out of the corner of their eye, however many times mm-hmm. they see it, is helpful. You know what I mean?
Do we have a Facebook page, Molly? Okay. No, I think we're an interesting part of old school, which is, you know, we're a referral-based business, but
sure.
We're learning. You know, both Steve and I are not the young lions that we have across the thing here, but we respect them and understand that that's not only the wave of the future, but it's the wave now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, it is a fine line. I think we've talked about this on the show many times. How much of it are you doing just to do it because everybody's doing it and people say you should do it, and how much of it is actually closing business for you? How much is actually just random stuff going out that you're spending time and money on versus something that's a real lead?
You mean people always try to sell me on how many clicks they can get me.
Well, right.
I can't spend a click.
Right. I mean, I certainly have been out there in social media world doing a variety of different things, and it's great that I have a bajillion followers or fans or whatever. They keep changing whatever they're called, likes, whatever. But if it doesn't bring dollars into my purse at the end of the day, then I just wasted a lot of time.
So have you guys been able to measure the effectiveness of some of the social media?
Yeah, you know, I think
that's the crux of it.
I think so. I think for us, when meeting with clients, one of the most important things is establishing our credibility. You know, with a lot of competition out there, it's important for
everything
us
on the internet's true also.
It's important for us to, you know, be able to say, hey, we're normal people. We work with a lot of people in the community. We're trustworthy people. You know, look at our list of clients or look at who we work with. And the social outlets, Facebook and LinkedIn and all that, through our pages, we can now say to clients, well, go to our, you know, pull up your Facebook page.
Right.
And that'll show that we've got 2,000 people that like us right now, and then it'll show that how many of those people that like us that they're also friends with.
1875.
Girls, I'm trying to check in here, though.
Not that you're kind of, you can't check in.
I don't see an ability to check in here.
We're
going
to have to work on that. That's funny because I was thinking Workout Anytime should have that, too, the ability to check in there. I don't do any of that nonsense, so. Oh, did I just call it nonsense on the air? Whoopsie. Sorry. I always think it's a little bad to say where you are because that means you're not home, and that's like an invitation to people to go break into your house and take all your stuff. You know, just me. That's just me, I guess. I'm a little old school, too, I think, so. But I do always wonder about that. And every time also there's some new one that comes out and you got to wonder, like, is this one going to stick? You know, now with Pinterest, I guess, is the new big thing. And
Google+.
Right. And Google Plus keeps on trying. And I keep thinking, I don't think so. I'm not getting it. But and then they go. And then if you invest time and energy in it, and it goes away. And that's frustrating, too. So, I mean, I still even wonder. I know everybody's tweeting like crazy and I know that's all popular and whatever. But I still don't entirely think it's. Anything is really happening there, because like I'll tweet something that I did so that everyone can see it, but I don't read anybody else's tweets, so I have all these followers and I follow all these people and I could care less what they're saying.
not everybody's tweeting, trust me.
I know, but there's, you know, I will say this, I find that it works very well for complaining. It's great for customer service complaints because you will get instant response, but besides that, I don't really know how good it is in terms of actually being meaningful.
Yeah, it's hard to actually put your finger on exactly what it was that made you have growth that year.
Yeah.
You know, but from a business owner perspective, you can kind of see sometimes you'll make some key hires and you can't put a dollar amount on exactly what they did for the company, but right. You realize that at the beginning of the year, you at this point, the end of the year, you're at that point, you had the X amount of growth.
Right.
So you've got to kind of attribute a little bit of everything to everyone that was a part of the team. And when you do the social media and things like that, you've got to then attribute part of your growth to that as well.
Yeah.
And recognize it.
Well,
so.
It's been interesting, too, to see. We've just brought on Jason Swank as our chief innovation officer for Billing Orchard. And he is, you know, well-versed in technology and in social media and Twitter. And it's been interesting to see already how he is starting to take us to the next level in lead generation.
Yeah.
Through Twitter and through the blogging and through everything. So we're really excited to put these new platforms and ideas into place, and we're already seeing how it can really help with lead generation and lead nurturing. So back on the measuring end, hopefully we'll have some more quantifiable data on that. I think, you know, this year.
Totally hit
goal.
The nail on the head. If it's not tied to lead generation, then it's just chatter.
And the difference is for us, we're a technology company. And growing more and more in that space. But you've got to partner and find the right people to put on your team that are, and Jeremy and I have talked about a lot about this, that are natives within technology.
Right.
They can't be people who are trying to figure out what technology is.
Right.
You've got to live in technology. You've got to have grown up on iPads and building websites and social media, and you've got to find the people and surround yourself with the right people that are just native inside of the web, and they just live it and they get it and they talk it
and they love it.
Our CIO, he's younger than us, and he built and sold a company and already called Solar Velocity here in town. So
he's had a lot of success stories, a local industry guru in the space.
You have to care about it too. I mean, I agree with that.
Going back to one of the other questions or comments there, that it's not about lead generation with us; it's about closing a deal. Because when we publicize things on the internet, we get all kinds of leads, but most of them are very questionable.
Let's say qualified leads. Yeah. How about if we say qualified leads? Because a lead is just a lead unless it's – you're right. And if you can't close it, if it's not meaningful, then it's still just noise.
Yep.
So as a technology company in this space, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the innovation of the way that people will send and receive money in the future. How far on the cutting edge, bleeding edge do you think it's appropriate to be in that space as far? Because there's a lot of like new technologies out there. How do you pick what's the right one?
Yeah, that's the part that gets us real excited. That's the part that keeps me up at night, kind of, you know, and my showers get longer because I'm, you know, thinking about all the things that we can do. But you know, we are on, if there's new technology, we're in it. Part of our strategy is being integration. So on a monthly basis, every month, we're doing more and more of our accounts. The standalone credit card terminals, they're becoming fewer and fewer. More of them, we're using our API codes, which are programming interface codes, to interface with a lot of that new technology. So kind of our position in a lot of it, whether it's, you know, some of the mobile technology that's out there, it's really to kind of be able to be an integrator. So we're not pigeonholing ourselves in any one of them, but it is, mobile applications are great, peer-to-peer payments, those things that you hear a lot of talk about. It's educating consumers on becoming earlier adapters of accepting credit cards. But our business really is for that somebody that's a true business, you know. So you pay me back for lunch or something like that, that's great, but you know, we're a volume driven business, and
right.
that doesn't pay the bills necessarily.
Yeah, those are different products. Those are peer to peer. So that's like a PayPal and a Square and things like that that are built for smaller, you know, you and me, literally for lunch, like you said.
But what about within the like in the standard, you know, like the merchant stores and retail and restaurant, and the way that that's changing with?
Yeah, so I think the hot news in our space is probably the mobile wallet, and what'll take place over the next 5 years is that we'll stop carrying credit cards. And it'll all be on our cell phones. And
this is what I've been hearing
about.
Yeah,
so that's kind of on the front page.
Sci-fi or reality.
No, it's real. Right now, Visa's rolling theirs out in Austin, Texas, and in Salt Lake. And there are a couple other versions that exist right now. What you're going to see in the mobile wallet space, and you hear the word mobile, too, in a lot of ways. So there's a mobile phone where I can take your credit card, and then there's a mobile wallet, which is something totally different. So you're going to be able to go to an AT&T store. This is what their plan is. You're going to be able to go to an AT&T store and get an AT&T iPhone connected to your Visa MBNA credit card or your Visa Barclays or your Visa Bank of America credit card, all at the AT&T store. And it'll all live on your phone. And so then we're credit card processors. So we'll sell businesses the adapters, the readers that can read that phone. So when you walk up to a business and you want to pay, they go, how are you paying? You just say, I'll pay with my phone, and you'll just tap it on something or communicate directly to the terminal through a text or something.
NFC
stuff.
All right. I'm about to show my age. I can't help it. What happens if you lose your phone? This is what freaks me out.
Even more secure.
They say it's even more secure. They can turn it off at the phone level.
But you can't call them to tell them you lost it because you lost it.
So
then what do you do?
Yeah. So there's, you know, it's got its ups and downs, but they claim it's going to be safer and they claim it's going to be more secure and that there won't be as much fraud.
That scares me. I mean, I know that that's where we're going. And it took me until like 2 or 3 months ago to start doing deposits in the ATM machine because I like to hand them to somebody. And so I finally just now that they put the picture of it, and I say now, I know that's been going on for a while, but for me it's new, so now I'll do it. But like, that terrifies me. Yeah. I've lost my phone in like a movie theater where a bunch
of still on MySpace.
No, but it's only recently that I got. No, I was never on MySpace.
But that's that conversation about people that are, you know, early
but I still
adapters.
Have a record player. So there.
That's hip now.
Yeah, that's come full circle.
Yeah. Okay,
really.
See?
Yeah.
See? So my old plastic.
You held on long enough.
My old plastic credit cards will still be hip someday too, maybe.
But that's the conversation about early adapters, late adapters, people that are native. You know, so people that are the 16-year-olds right now will be like, of course I have a mobile credit card. Why wouldn't I? I don't even understand why you wouldn't.
Right.
And then as we get older, the generations, you'll start seeing changes and changes.
Right.
I think my dad still carries the checkbook with the long checkbook wallet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And kid, like, I think my daughter's like, what, checks? What is a check? What do I need a check
they'll
for?
They'll have no idea, and they never will. So yeah. they'll live on the web completely.
Yeah.
How important is it for a business to have, you know, an advisor in this space to tell them, you know, what they need to be doing to make it easy to get paid, to make it easy to do business?
It's extremely important. We find that, you know, we can save people an enormous amount of time and money when we get involved with their business and analyze their processing strategy. You know, if you're not taking the card properly or you don't have the proper equipment, it sounds like Workout Anytime has researched and done the proper due diligence and found the proper POS system, and that's smart stuff, you know. But there's a lot of businesses out there that haven't, that they just say, yeah, I've got a machine and here's how we take it. And there's a lot of fraud concern now too with PCI compliance. You read about it on the web all the time. People are still, businesses will still write down credit card numbers. They'll take them over email, or, you know, there's still a lot of issues that they face that they're liable for, and there's a lot of risk for them. So it's very important for them to have a processing consultant on their team that they can ask these questions to. And as technologies come about, they can go back to and say, hey, I heard about this new technology. Is that something for us? Do we need to take advantage of it? And vice versa. It's our job to bring new technologies to them.
And regulation, you know, the Durbin Amendment. You know, there's the regulatory environment changes on a daily basis in every industry, but in ours it seems to be on a daily basis.
Yes. It seems like new regs come out especially often, so you have to keep abreast of that and understand how it's going to impact clients and their use of the tools.
It changes the pricing structure for every one of our clients. So, you know, in some cases, you know, we try to do semi-annual analysis of their accounts and make sure that it's called interchange is the kind of the rails that every or the rules that everybody plays by. There's 300 and some levels of interchange. And so if you're not mapping your interchange correctly, this is all we'll stop there. We won't get any more technical.
I know. I'm like, wow.
Then it's going to cost you more money. And
I
so,
hope my
you know,
interchange is
and,
okay.
And it's one of those. It becomes real money, you know, when you're talking about basis
millions
points on millions of dollars. Yes.
Yeah. Transactions.
Well, I think also with small businesses that who can't afford to have their own consultant, I think that is kind of a cool thing about you guys saying that you're out and about networking and meeting people at events and whatever else. Because I feel like if I ran into you guys and I was a retail business, I could be like, all right, so I want to do this. Is that okay?
Right.
And, you know, I'd have like some friends in the business who could tell me.
That's it.
Yeah.
So your reps in the field kind of keep in touch with customers ongoing. Oh, it's not just say, so oh, okay, signed you up, see you later.
No, one of the underlying currents, I think, of the success of our company is our compensation of our sales reps and our employees and our consultants, and that we don't make any big money up front. We just make a little bit every month as the merchant processes, and that's how the sales reps get paid. So it's instilled in them to provide customer service to the clients so that when the customer calls and needs help over time, they're always there for them. And that's how we've grown the company over the years. And so, yeah, it's very important to
us. Build a business within the business. So it's their book of business, you know. And so they've got a vested interest in returning that phone call in a timely fashion. All the very basic, simple kind of things, like returning phone calls.
Right.
Right.
It's amazing how many people don't do that.
75% of our competition is calling from a warehouse in the middle of the woods with 100 people that are calling 1,000 people a day. Or,
right.
You know, or they're just knocking on doors trying to close you, and then you'll never see them again. So we put a different spin on the industry.
Right. Now, with you guys, with the Workout Anytime, I think choosing the franchise model, did that give you guys the ability to sort of be around for more of your people more of the time because you're not, like, sort of stuck in one location?
Absolutely. That's, you know, the best part about this is the point in our lives is I have nothing to do but help other people.
That's nice.
My grandkids are grown.
Oh,
you know, so
you don't look old enough to have grown grandkids. You must be working out a lot.
I've been working out a lot.
That's the key.
Yeah, but the similarities between what they said is so important, which is the due diligence process. We're very relationship driven. So if we like these guys and we sat down and socialized, and it's a trust factor, especially when somebody's, you know, when you're dealing with my money. I need to trust you.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, so, I think that goes on from your vendors and your franchise owners and all of that. It's all relationships.
I'm like you to the 10th power, though. I'm going, okay, there's a geek out there trying to steal my money.
Yeah, right.
He's real smart.
Right.
How do I stop him? I'm not worried about losing my phone.
Yeah.
I'm worried about Charlie, who's smarter than everybody.
Right, who cracks the whole system and has all of our credit card numbers and is like, you know, buying more computers for himself or
avatars.
Something.
They buy stuff for their avatars.
Oh, right. See, that's like right over my head. I thought that was like a movie or I don't know. All right. Well, I think we're getting close to being out of time. Are we
Is
not?
Is it time for you to wrap up
I
with
think
our downtown?
We have another hand. I love this. It's such a polite group. Everyone raises their hands. Please. Please go ahead.
I'm old school, like I said.
Yes,
but,
it's very polite.
I wanted to especially thank you for inviting us here and giving us the challenge of finding this place, number one. And not only that, finding it without having lights on. I thought that was
that is impressive.
That was awesome.
Yes. Well, before we
part of our theater and games.
That's
here.
Right. That's right. We want to stress you out as much as possible before we put you on the air.
We love a challenge.
Memorable experience on Good Morning Atlanta for you all. So thanks so much.
Yeah. And before we wrap up again, let's give the contact information for all of you guys. So if people want to buy a Workout Anytime franchise or if they just want to get a good workout, they should go to workoutanytime.com.
Yeah. Workoutanytime.com. And one thing to all of you veterans out there, Workout Anytime Franchising is offering you the opportunity to have a Workout Anytime franchise for 50% off of the fee.
Wow.
All you veterans that have been overseas fighting for our country, we want to give back just a little bit. And if you'll go to workoutanytime.com, just tell us you're a veteran, and we will take it from there.
That's great. So a good business opportunity
yes.
for veterans. And Payscape Advisors, people who need services should reach you how?
Start with payscape.com, PAYSCAPE.com. That's our website. You can also email us at sales@payscapeadvisors.com or call us at 404-350-6565, extension 3.
Or tweet us.
Or tweet us, or Facebook us,
there
or LinkedIn us.
They're so hip.
Just put in Payscape.
You guys are too cool for school. All right, before we wrap up, we do need to talk a little bit about Atlanta downtown business. So I guess the big news again is that the T-Splust did not pass the traffic referendum.
Yeah, so does that, I mean, as business owners here, do you guys have opinions on that? Was that a surprise?
I think, you know, when you said it earlier, I think people don't have trust that if the money comes in, that they'll do the right thing with the money. It's just that simple. That's the landscape that we're in.
Yeah.
I don't have a trust that they're going to do the right thing with the money.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we heard a lot from both sides of the issue. We heard a lot of people saying that this was actually one of the best planned out referendums, and there really was specific projects that were earmarked to get the dollars, and it supposedly was
oversight and that kind of thing. But right. Ultimately, when the voters
spoke,
decided,
and that's that.
They didn't want to go for it. So
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Buy a bike
next.
And learn the shortcuts.
And it's
take
also
MARTA.
I don't know if you guys were following the vote yesterday at all, but I was a little bit checking in throughout the day on my mobile phone because I'm, you know, hip like that. And I noticed that they were saying some of the returns that were coming in from outlying areas were actually for it, which was interesting because it really was mostly geared toward Metro Atlanta, and Metro Atlanta is who shot it down. But some of the outer areas further out into the state were voting yes. So it's kind of interesting how that shook out. And I think one of the things people didn't really pay attention to was the port improvements, because that was part of the referendum, was to improve our ports. And if we don't have those ports, if they go away, if they're not improved and people start – that traffic starts going to
that's
other ports.
A big part of our economy.
Huge part of all those trucks. Absolutely. We see going up I-85, which could be annoying.
When they're in front of you.
But they're
– snail's pace.
Yeah. That's actually helping our economy quite a bit. So there's a lot of things that are going to be talked about over the next couple of years, I guess, on how to handle this since this did not pass. So it'll be interesting.
I think, yeah, we were big supporters of it as a business.
Right.
And it was disappointing that it didn't pass because there's no telling how much it's going to affect us long term.
Correct.
But we're a resilient, resourceful city, and hopefully we figure out ways to make this happen. Because we truly do have a target on our back with the Charlottes and the other cities out
exactly.
there that are recruiting other big corporations. And,
exactly.
And that's going to be a challenge for us. But again, we've got a great team, and we're very passionate about being long-term players in the city and being committed to helping the city grow.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we feel the same
way. There's
a
lot of people behind it, and there were a lot of good plans put together. So I think it will be a matter of just finding another way to pull off some of those projects that were really important.
Yeah,
I also think it was a little bit of lack of education.
I agree.
That they were saying, this is what we're going to make it better traffic over the next 10 years, and we're going to charge you for it. And if they had actually pushed the details of the agenda, they might have had a better turnout and said, here's the list of the things that we're actually doing with
right.
the money, because people were scared. That's what every single person is saying, is they're just saying, we don't know what you're doing with the money.
Right.
It's a lot
right,
of money.
I'm not
it's just another tax.
Just letting you put it
so
in a
tell
black
us
box.
What it is. You almost had to be this, you know, figure out how to be a detective inside governmental affairs to
right.
figure out what the list was and find it and figure it out. It should have been advertised more.
They should have come on the radio more and
really
talked about it.
More.
That's right.
They forgot to tweet.
They didn't tweet the details. That's right.
I think there's plenty of tweeting about.
Yeah, the problem is that with only 140 characters, all they could say was more taxes,
right.
more taxes, more taxes. All right, well, moving on. Oh, and, of course, we will be following this story over the next
yes,
upcoming year.
Yes, we will
year.
Continue to cover the T-Splust as we hear what will come next.
That's right.
But, yeah,
well,
big
we also,
excitement on the polls.
Right. And, of course, we also, just because we are here in downtown Atlanta, we like to sort of promote what's going on around town. And I don't know why I have to report this every week, but I think it's because I am obsessed with it, and that is that it's Food Truck Wednesdays again at Underground Atlanta, as it is every Wednesday from 11 to 2. So if you want to try something really delicious and yummy, go check out Food Truck Wednesday, and then you can go get a good workout and burn off those calories at workout anytime. Just saying. First Thursday Downtown Arts Walk is coming up tomorrow. Also, the Green Market at Peachtree Center is tomorrow from 11:30 to 2:30. And on Saturday, Theatrical Outfit, who we just had in here the other day, has their 35th anniversary celebration. So that's very exciting.
Right here at 200 Peachtree.
Very,
I'm
very exciting.
About that.
Yeah.
Follow me all in time.
Yeah. So I think with our lateness and everything else today, that about wraps it up. So I want to thank again Steve and John from Workout Anytime, and Jeremy and Adam and
Amber.
My God, too many people in the studio today.
Advisors.
Right. So that's it. That's our show for Good Morning Atlanta.
Thank
I'm
you.
Dana Barrett.
And I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And we will see you next week.